are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, right here on the Maranatha Drive, we recently spoke about situations where an aggrieved spouse may sue a third party, not just your spouse, I mean a third party, for adultery and the need to deter third parties from interfering with marriages. Hence, an innocent spouse may sue in respect of such wrongful conduct. And you can find that conversation as a podcast on our app, Adventist World Radio, SID Media. Now today, the advocate is here to talk about what constitutes adultery according to the law. Yeah, yeah, I know it seems like a no gray subject, but actually in today's context, this postmodern world, there is much that can be spoken about it. And how does society then respond to the idea of suing a third party for adultery? So to make sense of this discussion with us and for us is Advocate Nyarazo Maphosa. Good afternoon to you, my advocate, and welcome once again.
Good afternoon, Derek. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Thank you so much. And how's your side?
Everything is well.
Marvelous stuff. Marvelous. Thanks once again for coming through and helping us make sense of these sometimes looking like legally gray areas and really ironing them out for us. We appreciate you.
Pleasure, pleasure.
Thank you so much. Maybe before we go deeper into today's conversation, do you mind just maybe recapping our last so that we can maybe have a segue into today's talk about what we spoke about in the previous conversation?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. So what we spoke about was that adultery damages where parties have entered into a marriage which is monogamous, mm-hmm. meaning one husband, one wife. If any of the parties enters into a relationship with another person who is not a party to the marriage, mm-hmm. The other, well, the aggrieved party, let's say the spouse was innocent,
yeah.
is allowed at law to sue that third party, whether it's the man or the woman, for adultery damages.
So
and what they are suing for uh-huh. is, number one, contumelia, which is just injury and hurt feelings.
Okay.
And number two, that's contumelia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then loss of consortium, meaning you have taken away the love and affection of my spouse.
Mm.
He's now, or she is now giving it to you. So those are mainly the two things that you are suing for. It's not a moral thing. It's just you have injured my feelings and my life has changed because of you. My marriage has deteriorated. You need to be ordered by the court to stop
yeah.
and to pay me damages.
What if the third party can prove that they weren't aware that this person was married?
Or that's a very good defense.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, the courts look at the guilt or the blame worthiness.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Of the party who's being sued.
Fascinating. You know, who would have ever thought that legal matters cover hurt feelings? Oh, you hurt my feelings. You must pay. I don't mean to trivialize the matter, but yeah, it's just fascinating.
We have a whole branch of law that deals with that.
Wow.
Not just in matrimonial issues, but in all issues.
Mm. Fascinating.
This is the law of mm-hmm. civil wrongs. Yeah, mm. where you can claim damages. That's the same law that deals with maybe somebody who's run over my husband.
Okay.
And I don't have anybody to look after me and the children anymore.
So you must pay.
I file for damages.
Wow.
Yes. And, you know, maybe there was a crazy case in the UK at mm-hmm. some point where there was a stadium which was very visible to a lot of people.
Okay.
Which was crowded. I don't know if it was a soccer thing or what it was, but they had more people than had been designated.
Okay.
And it collapsed. And a lot of people saw it and they suffered a lot of trauma. You know, just imagine I'm here in my office and I'm just watching this horrendous thing happen.
Yeah.
Like you can imagine the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
The horror and shock of those who were watching. I mean, we were horrified all the way in Zimbabwe, all the way in Africa. And so people sued for trauma.
Oh, so you're not saying the people who were in the actual tragedy, but the ones who were watching?
No, it's those who were outside, who saw it happen, and just, you know, they sued for trauma.
And they won?
Well, what the courts then had to do, because they had a right, but then they brought in a policy issue where they said, look, there'll be a floodgate of, you know, of cases, and we won't be able to control it because we can't tell who actually saw it, who didn't, who was on holiday, but now wants damages. So that they dealt with it on a policy issue, like under policy consideration. But otherwise, under normal circumstances, yes.
Gee.
Absolutely.
That is something indeed. But I think we learn every day, right? And thank you so much for opening our eyes in that sentiment. So guys, if you are hurt, you can claim, basically, is the lesson for today. I want us to come back to our discussion looking at this matter of adultery. Now, you made, and thank you once again for the recap, just laying the base as to what is the terms on which a spouse can sue the third party. Mm. Now, the question that we want to ask as we segue into today's conversation is this. Does it matter whether the adultery led to divorce or not? I'm wondering if an innocent spouse can still sue even if the marriage survives. Because like you were saying there, the basis is you took away my husband's affection and or my wife's this and that. Can they sue when the marriage is salvaged?
Yes, of course. Because just because the marriage was salvaged and we managed to work things out doesn't mean I wasn't hurt. Yeah. Doesn't mean you didn't take away my husband between 2003 and 2004. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the basis for the damages that will speak to whether or not somebody can actually sue. So if it leads to a divorce, it means that the damage is that bad. It means I can claim more money because it actually led to the destruction of my marriage. Yes, but if you just, so you came in and you did what you did, or I discover you actually have a child with my husband or with my, can you believe it, Derek? A man finds out that for the past 6 years, he's been looking after another man's child.
Yeah.
Even if the two broke up. Does it matter that they broke up? Does it matter that the marriage is still intact?
Yeah, I know.
No, it doesn't.
That's some serious trauma right there.
Yeah,
I know that one there.
You know what I find interesting? I find it so interesting that men find it more traumatic to deal with adultery than society expects women to. For some reason, society is very forgiving of men.
Hey. Yeah, I know, and I'm wanting to justify, but I'm wanting to also hold my words.
Because you know what, I always talk about this, and I think it's a point of discussion, really, to say how is it more hurtful for a woman, say whose husband passes away from a car accident or from whatever, right?
Yeah,
and there was no chance for anybody visiting him in hospital or whatever, but he just dies a sudden death.
Okay.
Then at his funeral, you have two women who are also sitting there in the corner with two kids or one child. How traumatic is that for the widow? And is that less traumatic than a man discovering that one of his three children is not really his?
No, certainly it's
It's just as bad.
You're trying to trap me, Nyari. I'm not going to buy into it. No, 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 no. I refuse.
I said it's a point for discussion. So you don't, you're exonerated. You don't have to answer.
No, definitely it is. And hurt is still hurt, right? And especially it doesn't matter as well as when you find out. It is still very much the same. But I want us to maybe look at the moral gray, or even if you say legal gray, if there is such a thing. Mm. Of how to define adultery. I mean, we live in this postmodern world where we've got work wives and work husbands. What constitutes adultery? Is it just the sexual relationship, or are we talking even emotional and whatever it is in between?
Well, for the law, usually it really it will have landed itself into sexual relations.
Okay.
So to say emotional, that's a bit of a gray, definitely. I haven't heard anybody who went in there and said, oh, you know, you were committing emotional adultery with my wife.
Yeah, you were having conversations that were looking too much like she was confiding in you.
Yes, or something of the sort. You know, you were taking her out to lunch too much.
Yeah.
So no. Usually it's a sexual relationship.
Okay.
And if you look at it, I think the question from the moral gray you're talking about is to say, the question people always ask, why must I, the wife, sue the girlfriend and not my husband? And why should the husband sue the Ben 10?
And not the wife herself.
And not the wife.
Yeah.
Because what is adultery? Who is committing adultery? My husband is committing adultery with so-and-so. And both of them are committing adultery, but why should I sue the one and not the other? So you will notice that's why I gave the definition of adultery damages and the basis for them. So I can't sue my husband to say I lost consortium.
Because
and you also notice that what happens is we take the matrimonial unit as an institution. So you know, an army cannot fight against itself in a sense.
But
and the other there's also the presumption of knowledge on the other party to say, no, there's no way you didn't know. And if we had less customers out there, there would be less adultery.
True.
Even if you then find out this man is married, you know, if he's married, unless he's just a, you know, he's just a schmuck. Can I use that word? Unless he's just a schmuck. But usually when people are in marriage and maybe a marriage is in trouble, both parties are, what do we call it? They're a bit delicate. They are, what's the word for it? Where we say somebody can easily take advantage of them.
Okay.
Vulnerable, even if they then go and say, oh, my wife can't cook, or whatever the case may be, or my husband's not giving me money. Mm. People will say all kinds of things. But I think I'm just conjecturing. Okay, that's not how the court looks at it. But I'm looking at why you are not suing your husband, your spouse, and suing a third party.
But I have a question, though, Advocate, because earlier on you were mentioning how the items, especially in our last conversation, that the material issues that you're being sued for are issues such as, like you said, loss of consortium and hurt feelings and so forth.
Yeah.
But feelings are not only hurt when sex happens. Feelings can be hurt when you are found that you've been giving this person your time and so forth and expressing your love for them. How can that not be grounds for suing when actually you can see and it can be proven that this person have been having quote-unquote an affair in all sense and terms of this matter?
Okay, so I'm thinking that generally speaking, you know, our laws, both South African laws and Zimbabwean laws, for the longest time, actually, until maybe in the sometime in the 90s or late 80s, 90s, our morals were very, or our laws were very close to our morals.
True, true.
So you'll notice that 19th 66 or 72, mm-hmm. even 1980 in Zimbabwe. The only reason for divorce was adultery. And the definition of adultery was sexual relations with a person other than your spouse.
Black
so
and white,
I think
yeah.
when it comes to adultery, we still is still lending its definition from that understanding from, you know, from prior laws. I would think so.
No, I think it makes sense. And thank you so much for that clarity. Maybe as we then draw to the close for today's conversation, when you were making introduction, you made us a comment that this is mostly for monogamous relationships, monogamous marriages.
Yes.
What about customary marriages where it's not really bound by your civil kind of marriages? Does it also apply to have somebody be able to sue in this context, or because there's a leeway perhaps to add a spouse and a third and so forth, they become limitations?
Yes. There is a possibility.
Okay.
But for the men.
Okay, maybe
because a man can always then tell you that, oh, you know, I'm planning on marrying her. Okay, so you can't really say, oh, you're cheating on me. But for the woman, if she has a relation with somebody else, she can't also say that, oh, I wanted to marry him because it's not polyandry, it's polygamy. So the man usually can sue for adultery from another guy, you know, sue another guy for adultery, but not the woman. But you also notice that it is not expected customarily for a man to be sleeping or, you know, having sexual relations with a woman he's not married to.
So first they must have gone through the marriage.
Yes, because then if you say, I want to marry her, it can explain why I'm hanging out with her. It can explain why I'm sending groceries to her parents or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's definitely quite the gray area, but for now it's only the men who generally can say that you are committing adultery with my wife.
And I like that for now that you add in there. Looking at the legal landscape, do we see this changing to also include polyandry to say, no, actually the woman can also be defended to say, no, guys, relax, I'm planning to do something here.
You know what? In Zimbabwe, for instance, the new Marriages Act has actually said that all marriages, like customary unions, where people have paid lobola and everything, it's given people 3 months within which to register their marriages after paying lobola.
Okay.
They're not interested in this gray area anymore. And when you are married customarily and it's registered, it is clear that there is no polyandry, that it is a polygamous or a potentially polygamous marriage. So unless the customs and the culture changes, which I think Christ will come again before that happens. Before men allow that to happen. At least in Southern Africa, I don't know about up there. But people like their potentially polygamous marriages to just keep, you know, the door open.
I think that's going to be, like you're saying there, quite a while before we can see that changing, because obviously it's also attached to the cultural aspect of things and people down south.
With that in mind, Derek, if I can just say so, you know, especially for women within the church. I always say when I'm speaking, you know, at these Dokamo rallies and everything.
Yeah.
Right. To say, people, please know that when you have lobola paid for you and you then don't register your marriage as a monogamous marriage, you must know that even if both of you are in the church, you are in a potentially polygamous marriage. Know that. Even if you are both in church and you are both in good and regular standing, know that if this man goes, and I know this is really, it's like big news to people. If this man goes and marries another person, they can be censured in church, but they will not be, it will not be a criminal offense or even a civil offense in terms of the laws of the country.
You will have no leg to stand on, basically.
Yes. So why don't you protect yourself? Register. Your marriage is a civil marriage, and then you know that anybody who's going to try and touch your marriage, they are playing with fire.
And a difference, just a registration, what it will make, right?
What it will make. And you know, you say that, and you know what? I mean, I don't know about in South Africa, but in Zimbabwe, the majority of marriages are not registered. People just went, paid lobola, did everything that's supposed to be done. And they're married. And you know, for real, they are married. But when it comes to the law now, you might not be as protected.
And then the sad part is, and I think you need to have a lot more of those features, Nyari, because what it's saying is, our people are not informed, because we look at it from a traditionalist approach, and we're thinking of Africanism, right? Why is that we must always look for this civil thing? It's the white people's thing and so forth. But if I go and my parents agree and we agreed, we are married. And we think, the church is trying to infringe when you say, guys, go register. Can't you know? It's about protection, and we don't know until things happen. Then we think, guys, come pray for us. Will it be wrong if we say no? Bye-bye.
No, you go pray for people. But you know what? The law is the law. Familiarize yourself with the law that's applicable to your marriage, to your life, and you'll be safe.
Thank you so much, Nyara.
Pleasure. Hey, blessings.
The advocate talking to us. Have yourself a marvelous day. And thank you once again for the education. Always invaluable.
Pleasure.
And good to Alana. Comment coming through on our WhatsApp line. Enter with caution into this love and marriage and relationship things. What's your take? I think it's kuningi.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.